I mean, personally for me, nothing as personal as Kunti Maharani's prayers to Krishna. Very, of course, 10th canto you have Gopi Geeta and others. But at least I would say in the first 9 cantos at least, such amazing prayers. The first time I got admitted in Bhaktivedanta Hospital for malaria. So my first experience was throughout the day hearing, or almost for a significant portion of the day, hearing Prabhupada chanting Kunti Maharani's prayers. So whenever I think of Kunti Maharani's prayers, I remember Prabhupada. So with such feeling, you know, he chants the prayers. So amazing. So, you know, it's I great for, you know, fortune. I'm very grateful that, you know, we could discuss this chapter. It has been a long time since I got an opportunity to discuss Kunti Maharani's prayers. So, beautiful chapter here. These next few chapters are like 8, 9, 10, 11 are such personal chapters. You know, you really connects you almost directly to the 10th canto. Gives a glimpse of what's there in store. And then, okay, to achieve that, you know, you have to go through 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th cantos and gradually reach there. But it gives you a nice... I personally felt these cantos, these chapters give you a very capsule-sized prelude to what's there in store in the further cantos. The sweetness that is there in store. So, let's start discussing Kunti Maharani's prayers. This chapter, of course, the prayers start a little later. So, how did the previous chapter end? Ashwatthama, son of Drona, punished. So, Ashwatthama has been punished sufficiently and left, driven away. But now, but still he hasn't learned the lesson. He is still planning to retaliate. He's going to do that now. Okay, so before that, let's see what Suta Goswami has to tell. So we'll chant together. When the speakers change, we'll have to bear with the procedures. Suta Uvacha Atate Samparetanam Swanam Udakamichatam Datum Sakrishna Gangayam Puraskritya Yayustriyaham. Atha, thereafter, te, the Pandavas, sa Krishna, along with Krishna, puraskritya striyah. They are going to the funeral, and it is mentioned that generally for any funeral, the women are put in the front before going. Gangayam yayuhu, they went to the banks of Ganga. Samparetanam swanam udakam datum. Samparetanam, to the departed souls, swanam, who were their relatives, udakam datum icchatam, with a desire to give them the water, sacred waters of Ganga.
So, it's not funeral.
It's seems like that to me. I think it's something like all the relatives together who had passed away.
The bodies may be burned long back. Burning the body,
woman are not sent. Oh, women are not sent. So this must be some later ceremony. Maybe 13th day, something like that. Yeah, woman don't go. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, so it must be some other later ceremony. Yeah, correct. Yeah, something like that. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, to date, it is the custom in Hindu society to go to Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pours out a pot full of the Ganges water for the departed soul and walks in a procession with the ladies in the front. The Pandavas also followed the rules more than 5000 years ago. Lord Krishna, being a cousin of Pandavas, was also amongst the family members.
तेनिनियोदकं सर्वे विलप्य च भृशं पुनः आप्लुता हरिपदाब्ज रजपूतः सरिज्जले
ते निनीय उदकम आफ्टर ऑफरिंग दि वाटर सेक्रेड वाटर्स ऑफ गंगा टू द डिपार्टेड सोल्स विलप्य च भृशं आफ्टर सफिशियंटली लैमेंटिंग फॉर दि डिपार्टेड रिलेटिव्स सर्वे पुनः आप्लुता Everyone again took bath. They took bath in Ganga, but in a very poetic way, Ganga is described. Hari Padabja Rajaputa. That lady who has been purified by the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. Hari Padabja Rajaputa Sarit Jale. Sarit is river, Jale is water. That river water which has been purified by the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. It is Ganga. Like that. So they took bath and then
Tatrasinam Kurupatim Dhritarashtram Sahanujam Gandharim Putra Shokartam Pratam Krishnam Chamadavaha Santvayama Samunibir Hatabandun Shucharpitan भूतेषु कालस्य गतिं दर्शयन्न प्रतिक्रियां
माधव कृष्ण मुनिबिर अलॉन्ग विद द वेरियस सेजेस सांत्वयामास दे स्टार्टेड टू पैसिफाई द कौरवास एंड पांडवास मतलब धृतराष्ट्र एंड हूवर वाज लेफ्ट ओवर एस्पेशली द लेडीज सांत्वयामास दे वर बीइंग कंसोल्ड बाय कृष्ण एंड ऑल द सेजेस whom did they console? Kurupatim, Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is the Kurupati now. So they are also from the Kuru race, but they were called Pandavas because they were the sons of Pandu, but of course they were also from the Kuru race, and the Kauravas, none of the 100 survived. So now Kurupati is by default Yudhishthir Maharaj. Kurupatim Sahanujam along with his brothers Santvayamasa. So Krishna and the sages pacified the Pandavas, then Dhritarashtra, Gandharim. Gandhari was also consoled, Kunti was consoled, and Krishna here is Draupadi. Why? Putra Shokartam. They were lamenting for the loss of their sons. Hata Bandun Shucharpitan. They were overcome with grief for the loss of their relatives. Tatra Asinam, who were all seated there. How did they pacify? Darshayan Kalasya Na Pratikriyam Gatim. By showing the relentless movement of time upon all living entities. So, generally, if you see, many times grief is due to thinking that we have been unjustly dealt with. It's one of the main reasons, you know, grief. You know, either the Lord has been unjust or the situations have been unjust, someone else has been unjust. So, whenever justice is established, that sort of pacifies people. Sometimes, if you, let's say, if someone purchases some object for 100 rupees and the father says, Are you so rupai? Then suddenly The neighbor says, अरे पिछला हफ्ता मेरा बेटा तो इसको 200 रुपए दे के खरीद के लेके आया. So then the father feels very, suddenly the father starts feeling proud of his son. Just then he was lamenting, अरे to me it seems like it's worth only 50 rupees. Why did you pay 100 rupees? Suddenly when the neighbor says that, you know, my son purchased it for 200 rupees, then he suddenly, you know. So when some kind of justice is established that, you know, you have not been unjustly dealt with, so then that sort of brings in a sense of pacification. It doesn't completely pacify. So one of the ways is that kalasya gatim, the nature of time. What is the nature of time? Na pratikriyam, relentless. Relentless movement of time. Like if you have seen the movement of Ganga in Haridwar or Rishikesh. It's, you know, I think I shared this with you once, right? So we were staying in that that particular ashram. I forgot the name of the ashram. We, during our Brahmachari Yatra, first time I had gone to, you know, so north. So, and it was such a breathtaking thing to observe, the movement of Ganga. Such force, relentless, you know, relentless movement. Sometimes I used to get so curious that I used to wake up late at night just to observe, is she taking some rest or what? But no, with the same relentless intensity, you know, the water of Ganga used to flow any time of the day. Sometimes, you know, just like late at night, I used to get curious just to wake up and see, is there a moment that she just relaxes? And it's like with the same intensity, you know. So, the sages and Krishna are trying to pacify the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra, Kunti, because everyone had practically lost a relative. So, by establishing the relentless nature of time, how time does not spare anyone. So, therefore, there is nothing really untoward that has happened, because someone came to Prabhupada and told that Prabhupada, the mortality rate in India is very high. So Prabhupada said, very high? It's the same all around. It's 100%. It's 100% everywhere. So what do you mean mortality rate is more in India? Like that. So understanding the nature of time, how it is relentless, it's just, it's equal to everyone, brings in a sort of pacification. But of course it has to be employed in a very sensitive way when you're talking about karma or time. So here, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, I'm paraphrasing, laws of nature or dharma cannot be created or altered by the jivas. They cannot be created by the jivatma, they cannot be altered. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The laws of dharma are created by Krishna and they can be altered by Krishna, even though he doesn't alter it. Prabhupada in the third canto, he writes in one of his purports, if at all anyone is qualified to create a new system of religion or a new kind of way to approach the Supreme Lord, it is the Supreme Lord himself. But he never chooses to do so. Kapila Deva, after teaching all these things, he tells to Mother Devahuti that I am not telling you anything new. Long time back I spoke the same subject matter to the sages who were very, very interested in hearing the subject matter, and it is already given in the scriptures. So Prabhupada writes, if at all anyone is qualified to create a new system of religion, it is the Supreme Lord. And if he creates, it is bona fide. But the Supreme Lord never ever does so. It's all eternal. The Nishkama Karma Yoga or Sakama Karma Yoga or the Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, it has always eternally had the same limbs. Of course, from with the change of yugas, some particular limb may take more prominence, but otherwise the newer and newer acharyas might compile these limbs in a more relevant and understandable way, but nevertheless it's not a new system that's created, it's the same. So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning here, that dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Following the Lord's orders makes us happy both materially and spiritually. So both in materially conditioned state and liberated state, we are supposed to follow Krishna. Prabhupada says, mukti means swarupena vyavasthitihi, to be established in our constitutional state, that is real mukti. But due to illusion, we get attached to temporary possessions and the conception of me and mine, aham mameti conception, becomes very strong. But he says, how to get over it? By association of devotees, and in their association by practicing devotional service, all the misgivings are cleared completely. And this, Prabhupada writes, is done by the injection of the transcendental sound vibration in the heart. So in the association, how does transformation happen? Only if in the association there is sound vibration. Transcendental sound vibration. When there is discussion of Krita, Krishna Katha or Harinam Sankirtan. So then transformation happens. Merely existing together does not necessarily mean we are taking each other's association. Association means an association that is based on sharing Krishna, and sharing means sacrifice. And sacrifice means getting out of one's selfish hole. To sacrifice something means that which you would have used for yourself, you are choosing to share it with someone. In fact, bhakti itself is that. Bhakti comes from bhaja dhatu. Bhaja ityeshavai dhatu sevayam parikirtitaha. Tasmat seva budair prokta bhakti shabdena bhoyasi. This is a verse from the Garuda Puran, quoted by Baldevidya Bhushan in his Gita commentary. He says, the bhaja dhatu, bhaja iti yeshavai dhatu, sevayam parikirtita. Bhakti comes from bhaja dhatu, and bhaja dhatu means seva. So it is very scientific that Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service, because it is according to Shastras. The bhaja dhatu itself indicates service. Tasmad buddha, therefore intelligent person prokta, they say, bhakti shabdena seva bhuyasi, by the word bhakti indicates service. So bhaja also means to divide, right, as in vibhajan. So to divide means to share. So when you are sharing something, which means you would have otherwise used it for your own consumption, that which you used to use it for your own consumption, you are willing to share it. So therefore bhakti means to share one's time, one's resources, one's intelligence, one's mental space, everything with Krishna. Which otherwise he would have used it for his own gratification. Use it for Krishna's gratification. That is bhakti.
So one's time, mental space,
intelligence, resources. So everything, sharing it with Krishna. For what purpose? To establish a relationship with Krishna. To please him. We want to establish a relationship with Krishna. The difference between other paths and Shuddha Bhakti is that in the other paths, Krishna is a part of their abhideya. But prayojan is something else. Sometimes prayojan is mukti, prayojan is Vaikuntha, prayojan is the pleasures of Vaikuntha or swarga. But in bhakti, the prayojan is Krishna. And we saw, I think we saw last time in the 5th chapter when Narada Muni was chastising Vyasadeva. He said, real glorification of Krishna means glorifying Krishna as the prayojan. Not as a glorification of Krishna as the means to attain mukti is glorification of mukti and not Krishna. So therefore, real glorification of the Lord means glorifying the Lord as the prayojan. So, therefore, he says that all the misgivings of the heart, all the anarthas are cleared in the association of devotees. And association of devotees means sharing Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan. This is how one can be pacified from the stringent laws of nature.
Sadayitva jata shatroho svam rajyam ketavairhitam gatayitva sato rajnya kachasparsha kshatayushah yajayitva shvamedaistam tribir uttama kalpakaihi tadyashapavanam dikshu shatamanyori vatano. Sadayitva
means to make someone perform something. Sadayitva ajata shatroho. Krishna had Yudhishthir Maharaj established Swam Rajyam in his own kingdom. Swam Rajyam because rightfully it belonged to Yudhishthir Maharaj only. So if rightfully it belonged to Yudhishthir Maharaj, what does it mean to establish him back in that? Kitavair hritam, because the thieves had stolen. So they had stolen, the Kauravas had stolen the rightful kingdom from the Pandavas. Asato Rajna, these unrighteous kings and cheaters, they had stolen the kingdom from Yudhishthir Maharaj. So then what happened to them? To those thieves who stole. Kshata Ayushaha. Their lifespans were shortened. Why? Kacha Sparsha. Kacha means hair. Sparsha means touched. Because they touched the hair. Whose hair? Draupadi's hair. Ghatayitva. So this is Sutta Goswami very clearly telling. That who did all these things? Krishna. He is speaking about Krishna here. So he says that Krishna had Yudhishthir established. He is not telling that the Pandavas destroyed the Kauravas and they became the kings. He says, Sutta Goswami, as a matter of fact, he is telling. So Krishna, this doesn't come out so clearly in Mahabharata at all, in one sense. In Bhagavatam, It's spoken of in a very matter-of-factly way, in a very off-handed way, Sutta Goswami says, in the beginning of Bhagavatam only. Oh, Krishna killed the Kauravas and established Yudhishthir Maharaj as the king. He made him perform Ashwamedha Yajna. While Krishna never picked up a weapon at all on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Ashwamedha Yajna was performed by the Pandavas. They were the ones who went after the horse, and whoever stopped the horse, they were the ones who fought and got everything. But Sutta Goswami, in a very matter-of-factly way, he is telling, oh, Krishna installed Yudhishthir Maharaj, killed all the Kauravas who had the guts to touch the hair of Draupadi, and he had Yudhishthir Maharaj perform 3 Ashwamedha Yajnas. As if they were just puppets. And he was the puppeteer, which he was. Tat pavanam yashaha dikshu atanot. Shatamanyoriva. Tat pavanam yashaha. Thus the spotless glory of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Dikshu atanot. It spread in all directions. Shatamanyoriva. Just like that of Indra. Indra here is addressed as Shatamanyu. Shatamanyu means one who performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And how many did Yudhishthir Maharaj perform? 3. And that too it is mentioned that Krishna had him perform 3 Ashwamedha Yajnas. So, and it is mentioned here that Yudhishthir Maharaj became as famous as Indra, who had performed 100. So can you believe, if you are going to Mumbai or Pune and on the boat, you know, at the side of the topper who has stopped by scoring 100%, someone else who has scored 3%, his name is also put. So would that be fair? He performed 100, Indra. Where is 100 and where is 3? Here it is mentioned that tat pavanam yashaha dikshu atanavat shatamanyoriva. His spotless glory spread in all directions, just like that of Indra. How would Indra have felt? Why are they glorifying Yudhishthira Maharaj so much? You know, he has just performed 3 Ashwamedha Yajnas. I performed 100. That's why Indra didn't even come. He came for Prithu Maharaj and did so many things. But for Yudhishthira Maharaj, he didn't even come because 3 is not a very threatening number. So he could still wait for some time. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport of 5th verse that before the advent of Kali, 5 kinds of people were given protection. The Brahmanas, the cows, women, children and old men. The Brahmanas were given protection for maintaining the Varnashram. The cows were given protection for maintaining milk, which maintains the finer tissues for understanding higher subject matters. The women were protected for maintaining chastity of society, by which we get good generation of peace. And children were protected because by protecting them, it gives them the chance to perfect their life spiritually. This starts with the Garbhadana Samskar. And finally, old men were protected because protecting them gives them the best chance to prepare for next life. Even insulting these 5 classes, one loses one's duration of life. In Kali, proper protection is not given for any one of them. Therefore, the lifespan of people living in Kali has reduced. Prabhupada says in the purport. Next verse, Prabhupada says, even though Indra is thousands of times more opulent and conducted 97 more Ashwamedha Yajnas, still, Yudhishthir Maharaj's fame was on par with Indra because of him being a pure devotee. The Lord is equal to all, but the devotee is more glorified because he is in touch with the all-glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example is that of the sun. The sun is equal to all, but some places are dark due to their lack of receptive power. So like that Prabhupada writes in the purport. I'm paraphrasing, you may not find the exact sentence. Okay. So why was Yudhishthir Maharaj glorified? In Chaitanya Charitamrita about Madhavendra Puri, it is mentioned. Pratishta rabhaye puri gela palaiya, Krishna preme pratishta chale sange gadaiya. Being afraid of his reputation, pratishta, because the pujari came and announced, where is Madhav Puri? Gopinath stole the keer for you, please come and collect it. So what would he do? He wanted to run away, but at the same time, how can you reject that which has been sent by the Supreme Lord himself? So he collected the keer and ran away immediately from there. Why? Pratishtara bhaye, because he was afraid of the pratishta that would come with it. Madhav Puri fled from Ramuna, but the reputation brought by love of Godhead, Krishna preme pratishta, that pratishta which comes because of one's love of Godhead is so sublime that it goes along with the devotee as if following him. It's like running away from one's own shadow. How much ever you run, the shadow will run as fast as you are running. So when Prabhupada writes there in the purport, when a person out of humility does not desire fame, people generally think him quite humble and consequently give him all kinds of fame. Actually, a Vaishnava does not hanker after fame or a great reputation. So, then, Amantre Pandu Putramscha Shaine Yodhavasam Yataha Dvaipayanadibir Vipraihi Pujitai Pratipujitaha Gantum Kritamatir Brahman Dvarakam Ratamastitaha Upalebe Abidhavantim Uttaram Bayavikvalam. So, O Brahmana, Suta Goswami is addressing Shonakas Rishis. Amantre Pandu Putramscha, having spoken to the Pandavas, Dvaipayanadibir Vipraihi Pujitaihi, and having worshipped the sages such as Vyasadev, because they were Brahmanas, Krishna was not a Brahmana, so he worshipped them. Pratipujitaihi, they worshipped him back. So Prabhupada writes, the Brahmanas would not generally worship Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. So considering Krishna either as a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, the Brahmanas should not have been worshipped him back. So Krishna worshipping them is understandable because of social customs. He was from a lower Varna. But why would they worship him back? Only under one condition. If he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says, this proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, why would they worship him back? It was not necessary for them. Dvaipayanadivir vipraihi pujitaihi pratipujitaha Dvarakam gantum kritamati. Krishna had made up his mind that, okay, I want to go to Dvaraka now. So if Krishna makes up his mind, no one can change, except the love of his devotee. So the Satyasankalpa Shakti of the Lord, actually in Damodar Leela it is described that when Mother Yashoda in Vrindavan, you know, the dynamics are quite different from outside Vrindavan. So Mother Yashoda decides to bind Krishna to the ukhal. But Krishna thinks, if she binds me, then how will I go to steal butter with my friends? That was his main concern in Vrindavan. If she binds me, how will I go to steal butter with my friends? So I don't want to get bound. So as soon as Krishna thinks about it in this way, Krishna's Sati Sankalpa Shakti enlists the help of his Aishwarya Shakti. So there Aishwarya is completely subservient to Krishna's sweetness. So Aishwarya works in Vrindavan only with a desire to enhance Krishna's Madhurya. And that is the speciality of Vrindavan. Aishwarya has no capacity to obstruct Krishna's Madhurya in Vrindavan. So here, Aishwarya acted on Krishna so that Mother Yashoda could not bind Krishna, which was something fantastic. It was Krishna was showing his Aishwarya. Why? Because he wanted to go and steal butter along with his friends. For that purpose. Not to show that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then the whole Damodar Leela happens, all the gopis bring various ropes. Mother Yashoda tries to bind, but then still its two fingers too short. And later, after the whole exercise, Mother Yashoda becomes little exhausted. And as soon as Krishna sees that, immediately the Kripa Shakti takes over. So as soon as the Kripa Shakti takes over, then Sati Sankalpa Shakti has no power. Even though Krishna had a desire not to get bound, and his Aishwarya Shakti came to assist Krishna, came to assist his Sati Sankalpa Shakti. But when the Kripa Shakti came, when he saw Mother Yashoda struggling hard to bind him, so Kripa Shakti is the ruler in Vrindavan. When his Kripa Shakti came, Satya Sankalpa Shakti failed, his Aishwarya Shakti failed. Automatically, Mother Yashoda could bind Krishna. So, here again, Krishna had decided to go back. But Krishna's Kripa Shakti takes over. Because Uttara comes there running. So, Krishna desiring to go to Dwaraka, Ratham Astitaha, he sat on the Ratha. So, here very clearly Sutta Goswami says, Gantum Kritamati. Krishna personally wanted to go to Dwaraka. He had his dear devotees waiting there for him also. So at that point of time, Shaineya Uddhava Samyutaha, along with Satyaki and Uddhava, he was sitting on the chariot, just ready to leave to Dwaraka. Uttaram Upaleve, from a distance he could see Uttara. Baya Vihpalam, who was shaking with fear, Abhidavantim, she was running towards the chariot. So, here, in the 7th verse, purport Prabhupada says, a Kshatriya is not to be worshipped by Brahmanas. But here they were worshipping Krishna. This shows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, Krishna reciprocated by offering respects as he wanted to follow the social custom and set the right example for others. He didn't just stand there and accept the respect. He respected them back because he didn't want to break the social customs. So, in the 8th verse purport, Prabhupada writes, all the Pandava family members were completely dependent on Krishna for protection. Therefore, the Lord always protected them. Lord protects everyone, but he specially looks after someone who is solely dependent on him, just like a father would protect a completely dependent infant. So, father has a protective disposition towards all his children, but then the most dependent child, either due to age or due to some physical mental disability, he attracts the maximum attention of the child. Like that. So, So Uttara is now offering. She has something to tell Krishna. Why is she afraid?
Uttaro vacha pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate nanyam tvat abayam pashye yatra mrityuk parasparam.
O mahayogin, O great yogi Krishna, O deva deva, O lord of all demigods, O supreme lord, jagatpate, O master of the universe, pahi pahi, please protect me, please protect me.
Tvat anyam na pashye, except for you, I do not see abhayam, a source of fearlessness in this world.
Yatra mrityu parasparam, where each living entity is the cause of the other living entity's death. So therefore, in this world of parasparam mrityu, I don't see anyone who can bestow fearlessness other than you. So Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, death is mutual in the sense that one person causes another's death and someone else causes his death. So, she is crying, please protect me, like that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in this world of duality where death is inevitable due to the dual existence of matter and spirit, Lord is the only shelter for fearlessness of surrendered souls. So, 11th canto mentions the cause of fear.
Bhayam dvitiya abhinveshatasyad ishad apetasya viparyayo asmritihi. Tan mayayato buddha abhajettam bhaktyaikayesham Guru Devatatma.
He says, Ishad Apetasya, for the Jiva who is averse to the Supreme Lord, there will be the fear of samsara. And this fear of samsara happens in two forms. One is Viparyaya, another is Asmriti. Viparyaya means wrong identification with the body. And asmriti means forgetting one's real identity as the soul. So this is not the cause. This is the effect. This is the effect of ishadapetasya. This is the effect of aversion to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when the living entity wants to exercise his free will to enjoy separately from Krishna, then he is covered by Maya. So we ask, why does Krishna, if only Krishna would not have covered us with this Maya, it would have been such a wonderful life. Actually it is not. It would have been much more difficult life actually. It is like performing an operation without anesthesia. So it would be so painful if after performing the operation, before the wound heals, if the effect of anesthesia weans away, what happens? The person will be screaming. So the same way, if that ishad apetasya nature, the aversion towards the Supreme Lord is not purified, and before that if the curtain of Maya is removed, then it would be very painful for the living entity. So, it's not that we are suffering in this material world because of being covered by Maya. The purpose of being covered by Maya is to mitigate the suffering which we would otherwise be suffering due to this aversion towards the Supreme Lord. So, that's how it is explained in the scriptures. So the jivatmas are not covered by Maya to give them more suffering. The jivatmas are covered by Maya to mitigate their suffering in this material world. Because, I think I probably shared with you before, in the third canto Kapiladeva describes a living entity who at the time of final dissolution,
when the at the end of Brahmaji's life, when the final dissolution happens, the living entity, all the gross and subtle body is taken away from the living entity, and the living entity go and rest within the body of Mahavishnu till the next creation time starts. At that time, the living entity is put in a state of sleep, because it's very painful. Because his desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is not gone. But the facility to enjoy separately from Krishna has been taken away forcibly, which is very, very unpalatable. So, it is explained that some jiva who is vinidro, who has not yet gone to sleep or who has been woken up from his sleep, it is his state is described. Nashte ahankarane. So, his ahankar is gone. Ahankar means the feeling of wrong identification is not gone. Here, ahankar refers to the gross and subtle coverings, which are products of ahankar. We will see it in the second canto, third canto. How the gross and subtle bodies are products of ahankar. Okay. There is sattvic ahankar, rajas ahankar and tamas ahankar, and their products, like we say that mind is the product of ahankar and mode of goodness. Intelligence is the product of ahankar and mode of passion. Our jnanendriyas, karmendriyas are products of ahankar and the mode of passion. The gross organs, they are like products of ahankar and the mode of ignorance. So, like that. So, the gross body and subtle body are products of ahankar. So, nashte ahankarane, at the time of pralaya, when the products of ahankar are taken away, the gross and subtle body, so the living entity thinks, atmanam nashtavat, he thinks he is dead. Whereas, it's not that he is dead, but the gross and subtle body have been taken away. Nashte ahankarane atmanam nashtavat nashta vitta iva atura. So as soon as he realizes that the gross body and subtle body is not there, he thinks, oh, unfortunately I am dead. I am dead. Like that he thinks. Evam pratyavamarshya. After careful reconsideration, the living entity thinks, oh, if I am dead, then how am I thinking about it? So then he thinks, oh, actually I am not dead. The fact is that I am the spirit soul. I am not this gross or subtle. I am not this gross or subtle body. I am the spirit soul. How does he feel? Nashta vitta iva atura. Just like a very rich person at once loses all his wealth, how distressful he would feel. That same way this living entity feels. He has just realized, he has just achieved self-realization. That he is not the body, he is not the gross body, he is the subtle body, he is the soul. That which gives the bliss of Brahmananda to all the yogis and jnanis is giving the utmost excruciating distress to the soul who does not have the qualification. So therefore Krishna says, okay, sleep. So therefore, if this covering of Maya is not there, don't think that life would be so much more blissful. With all the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, it would be most excruciating. If liberation would have been a blissful state, then the ghosts must be at least half blissful. Right? At least they don't have the gross covering, only subtle covering is there. Right? But we hear that the ghosts are very, very, they feel very painful because they don't have the gross body to enjoy. What if the subtle body is also taken away? Is it reasonable to think that we would become blissful if the subtle covering is also taken away. So therefore, the absorption in material things, while identifying with them, in one sense, stops us from experiencing the higher bliss. But if the higher bliss is not there, and if the lower absorption is also not there, facility for lower absorption is not there, it would be much more excruciating. So therefore, when people who are drug addicts, when they are sometimes, if you forcibly take the drugs away from them with a desire to cure them, many times due to withdrawal symptoms they die. You know this? You think that, oh, this drug addict is killing himself because of taking drugs. And if you are not so expert, and you think, I will do something to cure this fellow. So, at night you go and while he is sleeping, you search all the places, you take away all the drugs, lock the door and go. Say, 1 week, I will just throw the food packet inside, let him eat, but I will not give him an opportunity to take drugs. What will happen? He will die if he is a very deep-rooted drug addict. So therefore, it's a very, very, very painful situation. So our situation is also like that. Even in Vaikuntha, why is Mayadevi so relentless? Because she does not want us to go there and wonder, why is Krishna getting all the respect here? Why is everyone loving only Krishna? I also love Krishna, but at the same time, you know, I should also sometimes be the focus of attention. So we may feel distressed in Vaikuntha without proper purification if we go there. Vaikuntha is not without anxiety because of the nature of the place. It's not the nature of Vaikuntha to be free of anxiety, that anyone who goes there is free of anxiety, right? Yes, bro.
I want to ask one question regarding this only. That if there is no duality in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, how does the soul get a desire separate from the Lord?
If there is no duality, how does the soul get
another desire?
Okay. To answer this question, we have to go back to the original discussion on the falling down of Jiva fall down issue. So without touching that, it is difficult to answer this question. But if I touch that, it will be little, you know, not so pleasant, and you know, you have to discuss the various other this thing. One understanding is that you know, in Jaiva Dharma also, I was reading just recently that, you know, there are actually Nitya Baddha Jivas and Nitya Siddha Jivas and Sadhana Siddha Jivas. So those which perform bhakti while at the stage of conditioned state, perfect their life and go there. So actually the living entities, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur at least, it is not that the living entities staying in Vaikuntha developed a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Which Bhanu Swami Maharaj also clarified, that one who has come in touch with the Samvit and Hladini Shakti of the Supreme Lord cannot develop such desires. It is not possible. So, in the spiritual world, it becomes very it's very, even though that does not mean that the free will to enjoy separately from Krishna is not there. So the free will to enjoy separately from Krishna is 100% there in the spiritual world only. You can 100% will to enjoy separately from Krishna, but the question is whether the entities living in the spiritual world would desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. That is a question mark. So, of course, one answer is, sometimes Prabhupada says, causeless foolishness. Another is, you go back and you will know. These are the various answers. So, I gave Bhaktivinoda Thakur's answers that he discusses in Jaiva Dharma. Prabhupada's common answers are this, that, you know, causeless foolishness. And another is, you know, you go back to the spiritual world, you would know. But the point is, it's the jiva has independence, and he can, exercise his independence. But the chance that from the spiritual world, having the personal contact with the Samvita and Radhini Shakti, the Supreme Lord, the chance that he would exercise it in a way other than, you know, to cooperate with Krishna is like very difficult generally. This is my understanding. So, yeah.
So here, the, like you explained about the suffering. So basically, the suffering is due to his desire to enjoy separated from Krishna. And Maya Devi, because
mitigates that suffering
by providing something other
than Krishna. Because the soul cannot constitutionally enjoy separately from Krishna.
Something she provides.
So she covers him, and you identify that you are this gross and material covering, and imagine some kind of happiness like that.
Means simply by getting rid of my free from my is not sufficient. We have to again
we have to remove this avidya. Avidya, the impressions. Avidya, bijam, papam, enodi.
But even that is due to material energy.
Which one?
This avidya also. Identification with.
Correct. But that reinforces. The original desire is that I can enjoy separately from Krishna. So that is. So then Krishna says, okay, try. Not try in the sense, try karke dekho, main dekhta hu. Not in that sense. Out of compassion, he says, okay, I'll try to do my best to facilitate it. So he gives the gross and subtle covering so that he can identify. So that original desire is there. Then he starts, then every impression that he accumulates, it reinforces that original conviction that yes, I can enjoy separately from Krishna. So then it keeps on adding and adding and adding like that. Yes, bro.
Ghost, we can understand that is suffering because in subtle body, the desires are there. He wants to enjoy, so he has no instrument to enjoy. So I just want to know this.
Is
taking where will that desires be kept?
So material desires are not. Yeah. Separate from the,
like ignorance also, Brahma is creating that whatever, that may be external to the soul. They are not.
They are not intrinsic to the soul. That is true. So that means that even though it is not intrinsic to the soul, but nevertheless, he has access to those desires. He has access to those desires. Therefore, it takes a particular form and shape when he gets the subtle body and gross body. but that but the generic desire to enjoy separate from Krishna is intrinsic to the conditioned soul. So he is not just conditioned by the gross and subtle covering. The gross and subtle covering gives a particular shape to his conditioning. Whereas the original desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is there, that is intrinsic to the conditioned soul. When he clears that off, then he can go back. Okay, so let's continue. So Uttara has approached Krishna and she has asked for Abhayam. So she says, Abhidravati Mamisha Sharastattaya So Vibho Kamam Dahatu Mamnata Mame Garbo Nipatyatam. O Lord, O powerful Lord, Tapta Ayasa Sharaha. Shara means arrow. Ayasaha means made of iron. Tapta means blazing. This blazing arrow of iron, Mam Abhidravati, it is pursuing me relentlessly. O Lord, Kamam Dahatu Mam. Let this arrow burn me. Mame Garbo Nipatyatam. But let it not kill my child, which is there inside this, inside my womb. So, one might say that ideally, chaste wife means she should have entered the funeral pyre of her husband and given up her body. Abhimanyu. So, Uttara must have died. So, not only did she not die, but now that the Brahmastra is coming toward behind her, she is approaching Krishna to save her. So, shouldn't she be ashamed? So, now it is clear. Because she is telling that, Mame Garbo Nipatyatam. So just before Abhimanyu died, he had impregnated Uttara. So, she was carrying the son of Uttara, the son of Abhimanyu. So, that's why in public, generally no chaste woman would reveal about her pregnancy to any other male other than her own husband. And that too only in private, never in public. But here is Uttara revealing in public, in front of everyone, because it was a life-threatening situation. The Brahmastra was aimed to kill Parikshit Maharaj. I am not praying for my life, I am praying for my son's life, like that. Okay. Then, Suta Uvacha Upadaryavachastasya Bhagavan Bhaktavatsalaha Apandavam Midam Kartum Draune Rastramma Buddhyata. Upadarya Vachastasya, hearing the words of Uttara, Bhagavan Bhaktavatsala, Krishna who is Bhaktavatsala, Abuddhyata, he understood the situation. What was the situation? Apandavam Idam Kartum, with a desire to wipe out this whole earth of the influence of Pandavas, Droner Astram, the son of Drona was not sufficiently punished, it seems. Droner Astram. So this time he did not release one Astra, one Brahmastra. He released 6 Brahmastras. One is to kill the 5 Pandavas and one for killing Parikshit Maharaj. So 6 Brahmastras for 6 people, so that there is absolutely no trace of their their family clan, like that. Yeah, so 5 each. That next verse is going to say that Panchashayakan, 5 were released to kill each Pandava, and the 6th one was that the Lord is going to go and fight inside Uttara's womb. So 6th 6 Brahmastras were released. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, one important reason why the Lord is inclined towards the devotees is that He wants the welfare of whole humanity. Prabhupada also sometimes says that the in one of his purports, in the second canto, he says that the devotees should take over the whole world politics, Prabhupada says. And they should guide the politicians. And he says that, but the politicians need not be fearful of the devotees that they may take over their posts. He says the devotees have no interest in their posts. But the politicians, therefore, without any fear, can take guidance from the devotees in order to understand how they can perfectly rule the world like that. Therefore, he vanquished the Kauravas and reinstated the Pandavas, the ideal family of devotees. Because one of the reasons why he protects the devotees is because he is concerned about the welfare of the whole humanity.
Tarhyevata munishreshta pandava panchashayakan atmano bimukan deeptan alakshastrani upadaduhu.
O munishreshta, O best amongst the sages, alaksha deeptan panchashayakan, seeing the 5 flaming arrows, atmano abhimukan, headed towards them, pandavaha tarhyeva ata astrani upadaduhu. The Pandavas immediately picked up their bows to counteract the 5 Brahmastras that were aimed towards them, or each Brahmastra aimed towards one of them. The Pandavas only saw this and no one else could even see the Brahmastra. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes, the modern atom bombs cannot discriminate but between an innocent person and a non-innocent person, or if it is aimed towards a particular person, it would kill only that particular person and no one else. Whereas the Brahmastras, they don't harm the innocent people. They only kill the target like that.
Vyasanam vikshatatte sham ananya vishayatmanam sudarshanena swastrena swanam raksham vyadat vipuhu.
The Lord, tad vyasanam vikshya, understanding the danger in which the Pandavas were there, because he understood that they didn't have time to actually counteract the Brahmastras. Because on a battlefield you are expecting it. While you are relaxing and not expecting, then it takes, first thing you realize it much later, and you have to search for your weapons, and to counteract it becomes very unreasonable. Krishna immediately understands it. Vyasanam vikshya, tat vyasanam vikshya. And who are they? Ananya vishayatmanam. They had no other shelter but Krishna. They considered no one else as shelter but Krishna. Swanam raksham, he protected them. Sudarshanena swa astrena, with his own weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra. So he released the Sudarshan Chakra and neutralized how many Brahmastras?
5.
Only 5. Not the 6th Brahmastra. Why? Why didn't he neutralize the 6th also? He said that the Brahmastra, as Sudarshan's capability is only 5 Brahmastras, like you have a antivirus CD, which you, if you purchase an antivirus CD only, you have 3 installations. The license allows only 3 installations. After 3, you cannot. So, is it that Sudarshan's capability is only up to 5 Brahmastras. Beyond that, not possible. Not like that. This shows the glory of Parikshit Maharaj. What kind of a devotee he was. That Krishna felt that this I want to do it personally. He doesn't want to depute it even to his own astra. So, later we would see. Angushta matram amalam. Spurat puratam ovalinam. We will see. So, vyasanam vikshatattesha mananya vishayatmanam sudarshanena sva astrena svanam raksham vyadat vibhu. The Brahmastra cannot be contracted by any weapon except another Brahmastra. Arjuna had contracted one Brahmastra with one of his Brahmastra previously. Now, Ashwatthama had released 5 separate Brahmastras for each of the Pandavas. Which means one each for each Pandava and one for Parikshit Maharaj. This was difficult to counteract because it would take time to release 5 Brahmastras. Considering the unavoidable danger, though the Lord had renounced all weapons, he protected his devotees, even if he had to break his own promise, in order to preserve his unique quality of having affection for his devotees. His Bhakta Vatsalya he can never give up. His promise he can give up, no problem. That he is okay. But his Bhakta Vatsalya he cannot give up. His own desire also he can give up. Like we see again and again here, Krishna would give up his desire. So, now he decided to go. Uttara came, so he decided to stay back. After that, the whole Uttara episode will get over. Then Yudhishthir Maharaj will come. Then he will decide to go. Then Yudhishthir Maharaj will come. And he would say, can you please stay back? And Krishna would say, okay. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj would start complaining that, oh, I have become the cause of this whole destruction of this thing and all that. He had left Dwaraka and come after so long. And he had been staying in Hastinapur for such a long time. So now, it's not mentioned that Yudhishthira Maharaj gives any reasonable reason why Krishna has to stay back. The battle is over, everything is over, and Krishna has protected the Pandavas and everything. So at this point of time, Yudhishthira Maharaj comes and just says, can you please stay back? And Krishna agrees. So, that's what. So, considering the unavoidable danger, though the Lord had renounced all weapons, he protected his devotees, even if he had to break his own promise, in order to preserve his unique quality of having affection for his devotees. So, let's continue. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport.
This battle is not yet over. Durjana is not yet killed.
No, that is over. After the battle, Ashwatthama releases the
promise was only the battle.
But still, technically, I mean, if you have to really perfectly 100% follow the vow, then he should not have taken up. That's. But he had broken it on the battlefield also. Swanigamam apahaya matpratigyam ritamadikartum avapluto ratastaha dhritarata charano abhyaya chalatguhu hariruvahantum ibam gatottariya.
This Bhishma Dev,
in one of his prayers, he is meditating on this beautiful form of Krishna who broke his own promise so that he could protect the promise of Bhishma Dev. He was charging towards Bhishma with the chariot wheel in his hand. And Bhishma Dev felt so happy. Not because you know, Krishna had broken his vow to protect his vow, but because thinking that how much love Krishna had for Arjuna, this needs a very magnanimous heart. He was appreciating Krishna's love for Arjuna. That was the magnanimity of his heart. He was not appreciating Krishna's love for himself. He was such an exalted devotee. And Krishna had so much love for him, but his appreciation was how much Krishna loved Arjuna. That was his meditation till he left his body. How much Krishna loved Arjuna. So that is, you know, really amazing. That was Krishna loved Bhishma. That is no doubt about it. But what gave Bhishma Dev joy was meditating how much Krishna loved Arjuna.
And Bhishma loved because of that to Arjuna.
Huh?
It seems that Arjuna was the favorite of Bhishma Dev also.
Bhishma Dev also. Yeah.
Because of that connection.
Because of that connection also. But just to, you know, be happy that someone else is getting the mercy. You know, it's like very magnanimous. So, that way Bhishma Dev's prayers are very, very special prayers. Very beautiful prayers. So, here Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the Pandavas were knowing the potency of Brahmastra and also knowing that the Pandavas had no time to counteract. Krishna broke his vow and took the disc. But this he does only to his Ananya Bhaktas. Krishna would never break the vow to protect his mixed devotees. But for his pure devotees, he would. The Pandavas were great warriors. And Pandavas were great warriors, but still they were 100% dependent on Krishna. But the Lord neglects even the greatest warriors and vanquishes them in no time. Therefore, the Lord is more known as Bhakta Vatsala than for keeping up his own vow like a mundane moralist. So, he likes to be called as Bhakta Vatsala. For that, he can take any other. If that means that it would give pleasure to his devotees, he is willing to be called as thief also. Makan chor or kheer chor or whatever. If it pleases his devotees, he is willing to give up all kinds of mundane considerations. Ranchor. Like that. So this is the nature of devotees also. In the 10th canto, this episode comes where Vasudev hands over his, you know, Kamsa tries to kill Devaki, and you know the long story. You know, Vasudev gives various arguments to protect Devaki, and finally, what really convinces Kamsa is that Vasudev says, okay, forget it. If you don't understand any of these logic, no problem. Now you hear from me. What you said, the Akashwani said that the 8th child will kill you. From the first child, all the children I will hand over to you. This is my guarantee. So when Kamsa heard this, he was like, his heart really transformed. Because he could know, he could understand that Vasudeva was speaking the truth. So he said, okay, fine. So he released. And when the first child was born, Vasudeva really took it to Kamsa. At this time, Parikshit Maharaj himself got very much shocked. He thought, Kamsa didn't ask for it. When he told that I will bring, he said, no, 8th child you bring. So he, this here, because he committed that he will bring the from the first child onwards, actually he took the first child whose name was Kirtiman. And Parikshit Maharaj was shocked. He said, why is he doing it? Kamsa himself didn't ask for it. So, Kirtimantam Pratamatmajam Kamsaya Anakadundubihi Arpayamasa Krichrena. Why? Saha Andrutad Ati Vihvalaha. Anakadundubihi Andrutad Ati Vihvalaha. Anakadundubihi is Vasudev. Andrita. Rita. Ritam means truth. Sarvameta Dritam Manye. Andrita means lie. Ati Vihvalaha means extremely fearful. So Vasudeva was extremely disturbed and fearful of speaking a lie or breaking his promise or being branded as a liar. Thus, Krichrena, with great pain, Kirtimantam Pratamatmajam Arpayamasa, with great pain, he went and delivered the first son to Kamsa, Kamsaya. So at this point of time, Shukadeva Goswami tries to explain the nature of sadhus. How is it that Vasudeva is acting like this? Kim dussaham nu sadhunam vidusham kim apekshitam kim akaryam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. So he says that kim dussaham nu sadhunam. For a sadhu, what is more painful than breaking his own words, by breaking his own promise? What is more painful than not being able to keep up his words? So therefore, but the same Vasudev, when the eighth child was born, what did he do? He took the child silently to Vrindavan. While Kamsa was all the while waiting for his one child only. So, Andritad Ativihvalaha, being very much afraid of being branded an immoral person, he very faithfully gave the first six children to Kamsa, who was afraid of the eighth child. When the eighth child itself came, what did he do? Silently took to Vrindavan. So therefore, there also Prabhupada writes that when it comes to Krishna's desire, a devotee is willing to sacrifice his mundane morality. But when the Krishna's desire is not under threat, at no point he would give up his mundane morality. So Vasudev, to the extent that he was willing to sacrifice his own children, he didn't want to give up his mundane morality. But when it came to Krishna's interest, he said, go to hell. No problem. Whatever Kamsa may think or do, no problem. Krishna has to be protected. And in fact, one may say that if at all they knew that Kamsa was going to kill the eighth child, why did they even beget children? And it is mentioned that every year they begot one children. That's the earliest you can conceive after giving birth to a child. If someone has given birth to a child, the fastest they can give birth to the next child is next year. One cannot be faster than that. So which means, as soon as the first child was gone, the very next year, at the earliest possible time, the next child was conceived, and after a year, the child was also born. The acharyas explain, why did they do it? They could have just waited. They could have just abided. You know, allowed the time to pass so that maybe by will of providence, Kamsa might die. So it is mentioned that because they were so eager for Krishna's appearance that they were willing to tolerate the suffering of seeing their other children die in front of their eyes. So that is why dustyajam kim dhritatmanam, what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet. They can give up their own children for attaining Krishna. So therefore they were conceiving and every child was killed by Kamsa, like that. So just like Krishna can give up his mundane vows and morality for the pleasure of his devotees, similarly the devotees can also give up their attachment to mundane morality for pleasing Krishna. But it is not said that they dovetail their propensity to act immorally in the service of Krishna. Like someone is inclined to thievery, it's not like I will steal for Krishna, not like that. One has to be very much, when the interest is not clashing, he must very strictly follow the moral codes. Only at a situation where Krishna's interest, in order to protect Krishna's interest, morality has to be broken. Only under such dire circumstances do they choose to give up their morality. Otherwise, no. Okay, so we'll continue. Antastha sarva bhutanam atma yogeshwaro harihi swamayaya vranot garbham vairatya kuru tantave. Yogeshwaro harihi, Lord Hari, who is the master of yoga. Antastha sarva bhutanam atma, who is the atma residing in everyone's heart. Antastha sarva bhutanam vairatyaha garbham avrunot. Vairatyaha is uttara, because she was the daughter of the king of Virat Desh. So vairatyaha garbham avrunot, so he covered the embryo of uttara. Kuru tantave, tantu means the descendant. In order to preserve the descendant of the Pandavas, kuru tantave, so mayaya, using his yoga maya potency. So this indicates that even Uttara didn't know what was happening. Uttara was not aware how this Brahmastra was neutralized. She didn't realize that Krishna was covering her womb. So here another interesting thing is that antastha sarva bhutanam, Krishna is present as a paramatma already within the heart of everyone. Inside Uttara, two paramatmas were there. Because Parikshit Maharaj was also there. Of course, if you see that way, Andantarastha, Paramanu, Jayantarastha, unlimited Paramatmas are there. But you can say, you know, two at least, you know, Parikshit Maharaj's heart and Uttara's heart. So he was present as a Paramatma. So he might have, in the form of Paramatma, he could have fought. But Paramatma is neutral. Upadrashta Anumanta, he would not do anything other than that. But as Bhagavan, Krishna can do anything. So therefore Krishna entered as the third Purusha inside the womb of two Purushas, as two Paramatmas in the heart of Uttara, and Parikshit Maharaj was already there. So as the third Purusha he entered with his Gada. So that's what Srila Krishna Jagat Thakur says. As the Paramatma, Krishna was situated within Uttara already. But by the power of his yoga, he entered as Krishna and covered the embryo. Covered means he protected it for continuation of the Kuru family, Kuru Tantave. He used his Yogamaya potency so that even Uttara was unaware of what he did. Kuru here means the Pandava, since they were also in the Kuru family. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, he used his Yogamaya potency to cover the embryo so that even Uttara couldn't notice it. Yadyapyastram brahmashiras tvamogam chaparadikriyam vaishnavam tejaha sadhya samshamyad brugudvaha samashamyad brugudvaha. So, brugudvaha, or the descendant of Brugumuni, Shaunaka, yadyapi astram brahmashiras, even though this brahmastra, amogham, is never infallible. Once released, it's never infallible. Cha apratikriyam, and it cannot be prevented from acting except when another brahmastra is released to neutralize it. Vaishnavam teja asadhya, on meeting the Vaishnava teja, the power of the Sudarshan chakra, samashamyat, it became completely ineffective. Vaishnava teja is the weapon of Vishnu. Okay. Then, mamam stahyeta dascharyam sarvascharyamayechute yaidam mayaya devya srijat yavati hanti aja. So he says, but one may think that ek Sudarshan chakra mein panch brahmastra ko akele rok diya. How is it possible? Huh? This Sudarshan chakra seems to be a very powerful weapon. Very astonishing. One may think like that. So Sutta Goswami says, don't get surprised. Mam amsta hyetad ascharyam. Please do not consider this so surprising. Why? Sarva ascharyame achyute. Because Krishna is full of all kinds of wonderful powers. Yaha ajaha. This unborn Lord, idam srijati avati hanti. He creates, maintains and destroys this material universe. Mayaya devya, just by one of his energies. If by one of his energies he can create, maintain and destroy millions of universes, then is it so wonderful that his own astra could neutralize 5 brahmastras? Is that so wonderful? Like that, Sudha Goswami is indicating here. Brahma tejo vinirmuktair atmajai saha krishnaya trayana bhimukam krishnam idam aha pritasati. Pritasati, sati here means one who is chastely devoted to Krishna. The pure devotee Kunti, saha Krishnaya, along with Draupadi, Atmajaihi saha, and all her sons, Brahma Tejo Vinirmuktair, who had just been saved from the influence of Brahmastra, Krishnam Idam Aha, spoke thus to Krishna, Prayana Abhimukam, who had now, for the second time, decided, okay, now I will leave to Dwaraka. So Kunti Maharani came and spoke now to Krishna. So now Kunti's prayers is starting. So we'll take a short break and then we'll continue.
5 minutes.
Param prakrite param alaksham sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitam So first she says, Namaste, I offer my respectful obeisances. So we will see this verse along with Shilavishna Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So he gives it, he explains it very nicely in the form of a conversation. So, understanding everything that Krishna had done recently, Kunti was unable to tolerate the agitation caused by the great respect that arose in her heart. Thus, she began praising Krishna. So, she said, Namaste, I offer my respectful obeisances. So, immediately Krishna says, what are you doing? I am your nephew. Why are you offering obeisances to me? You know, it's against the custom. So then Kunti Maharani says, Tu Purusham. But you are Tu, not Hindi Tu. Sanskrit Tu. But you are the Purusha. You are not my nephew. But you are the Supreme Lord, Purusham. She meant Supreme Lord, but the word used is Purusham. Krishna said, of course, I am a Purusha, I am not a Stri. There is no doubt about it. What is so special about it? Why do you have to pay obeisances for that? If I am your nephew, then I am not your niece, I am your nephew. So I am a Purusha only. Adyam. But you are not just any Purusha, but you are Adya. You are the original Purusha. Adyam. She meant Adyam as the original Purusha. But Krishna says, of course, all bodies come and go, but the soul is always original. Adyam. The soul is also co-eternally existing with the Supreme Lord. Right? So, soul is also eternal. So, soul is also Adyam. So, what is so special? If you say that I am Adyam, then you are also Adyam. Like that, Krishna says. But then Kunti Maharani says, but you are Ishwaram. You are the Supreme. Then Krishna says, what is so big deal? Every one of us is an Ishwara. In Swarga, Indra is the Ishwara. And the moon god is also a kind of Ishwara. On earth, now your son has been enthroned as the king. Yudhishthir Maharaj is also an Ishwara. So everyone is an Ishwara. So what is the big deal of being an Ishwara? But they say, but Kunti Maharani says, those Ishwaras are okay, but they are not Prakriti para. They are not superior to Prakriti. But you are superior to Prakriti. Like that, Kunti Maharani says. Then Krishna says, oh, you mean to say that I am the Paramatma who is superior to Prakriti? So, Kunti Maharani says, no, you are Alakshyam. You are not perceptible. The Paramatma is perceptible to the yogis when they meditate upon him by performance of Ashtanga Yoga. But you are imperceptible. Even though she was seeing him and offering him prayers, she was telling that you are imperceptible. Then Krishna says, so that's what she says, that Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam. You are imperceptible. Then Krishna asks, oh, so you mean to say I am the imperceptible Brahman? Am I the Brahman? Brahman is only, you know, Nirguna, Nirakar. So imperceptible means you mean to say that I am the imperceptible Brahman? So Krishna says, Antar Bahiravastitam. You are situated both internally and externally. So I cannot clearly say what you are. That's what she is indicating. Therefore, she is telling, Namasye Purusham to Adyam Ishwaram Prakriti Param Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. Like that. So, here Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Kunti was enlightened as she knew Krishna to be Adi Purusha. Namasye Purusham to Adyam. Otherwise, she would not commit a mistake by offering obeisances to her nephew. But the Jiva is neither Purusham nor Adyam. So, he is the Prakriti only and he is not Adi Purusha. In the sense, in Krishna's sense, all Jivas are Adyam. In Kunti Maharani's sense, only Krishna is Adyam. He is the Swayam Bhagavan. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Ishwaram, each Jiva, until the demigods are all Ishwaras to some extent, but only Krishna is Parameshwara. In that sense, she was addressing him as Ishwara. But Krishna took the, he wanted to have some humorous exchange with his aunt. He said, oh, Ishwara, everyone is Ishwara. But when she said Ishwara, she meant it in the form of Parameshwara. Antar Bahiravastitam. Antar within oneself as Paramatma and externally as Krishna. Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam. The Lord is a puzzle for common men. Even Kunti Maharani was puzzled. Krishna was right next to her. Still he entered the womb of Uttara. That's what she is telling. Antar Bahiravastitam. We saw you standing right outside. How did you get inside Uttara and protect Parikshit Maharaj? So, what do we have to say here? Antar Bahiravastitam. So, is he localized or all-pervading? Actually, he is both. But he reserves the right of not being exposed to the non-devotees. Yogamaya Samavrata. What is that? Naham Prakash Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata. This curtain is explained in the next verse. Maya Javanika Chandam. So, how many of you have memorized the first verse of Kunti Maharani? Okay. Most of you have memorized. So, let's try to recollect. What does she say first? Those of you who have not memorized, you can try. What does she say first? Namaste. What does Krishna say? Why you are offering obeisances to me? What does she say? You are Purusha. Namaste Purusham. And Krishna says, yes, of course I am Purusha. I am your nephew. Then what does she say? Adyam. Namaste Purusham tu Adyam. You are the Adi Purusha. Krishna says, all the souls are Adi. She says, but you are Ishwara. And Krishna says, oh, there are so many Ishwaras. Everyone is an Ishwara in his own sense. Krishna, Kunti Maharani says, you are Prakritim Param. The other Ishwaras are not transcendental to Prakriti. You are Prakritim Param. Then he says, Prakritim Param means you mean to say that I am the Paramatma? He says that Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam. You are imperceptible. Paramatma can be seen by the yogis. Imperceptible means Krishna says, oh, you mean to say I am Brahman? He says, no. Antar Bahiravastitam, what can I tell? Inside you are, when you went inside Uttara to protect, why we are seeing you just standing right outside also. So, what can I tell? I can't tell anything. Whether you are Brahman or not Brahman or Paramatma or not Paramatma or what, you know, it's impossible for us to understand these things. So, we'll chant three times and those of you who have not memorized, you can try to recollect. Namasye Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahiravastitam. Namasye Purusham Twadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param అలక్ష్యం సర్వభూతానాం అంతర్బహిరవస్థితం నమస్యే పురుషం తాత్యం ఈశ్వరం ప్రకృతే పరం అలక్ష్యం సర్వభూతానాం అంతర్బహిరవస్థితం. ఫస్ట్ లైన్, దోస్ హూ హాడ్ నాట్ మెమరైజ్డ్ ఇట్ బిఫోర్, సమ్వన్ ట్రై. సెకండ్ లైన్ ఈశ్వరం పురుషం పరం. థర్డ్ లైన్, ఫోర్త్ లైన్ అంతర్బహిరవస్థితం. ఫస్ట్ టూ లైన్స్ వాంట్ టు ట్రై అద్వైత ప్రభు. నెక్స్ట్ టూ లైన్స్ ఓకే, హోల్ వర్డ్స్ వాంట్స్ టు ట్రై. We already know. Okay, Muktakesh Prabhu.
Namaste Purusham Tvadyam Ishvara Prakrute Param Alaksham Sarva Bhutana Antar Bhairavastitam.
Hari Om. Okay. So we'll move on. Next. She says, Maya Javanika Channam Agyadokshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Modadrisha Nato Natyataro Yata. So, she says that, na lakshase, I do not know you actually. Krishna may ask, so you mean to say that I am standing outside also, and from inside also I protected Parikshit Maharaj, so you mean to say I am all pervading? So, Kuddhimanani says, I don't know. So he says, Agya. He says, I am Agya and you are Adokshaja. You are not perceptible to the, you cannot be understood by material senses. And I am a foolish woman, I have only material senses. I am Agya, you are Adokshaja. And Maya Javanika Achannam. You are covered by the curtain of Maya. Then Krishna says, oh, you mean to say Maya covers me? She says that it is only a fool who thinks that the sun is covered by the cloud. He says that only an agya would think that the sun is covered by cloud. I do not know you covered by the screen of Maya, who is beyond the knowledge of material senses. And she says, just because I cannot understand you does not make you any less glorious. That's why your glory is avyayam. Avyayam means that which does not diminish. Inexhaustible. Your glory is inexhaustible. It doesn't get diminished just because I cannot understand you. So then Krishna says that, but you see me directly. You are praising me. I am standing right in front of you. First verse only you glorified me. Namasye Purusham to Adhyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. All of that is proper Shastric knowledge. Perfect. Nothing is wrong. So now suddenly why you are calling yourself Agya, an ignorant person? How can an ignorant person glorify me like this? He says, Nato Natyataro Yata. Just like if someone goes to if two people go to the same dance performance, let's say Bharatanatyam. The dancer may make many, they call it abhinaya. So, moving the eyes and moving the hands and feet, all indicating. Both of them are watching. But one person neither knows the storyline nor has any idea about dance and anything. So he is also watching the other person. He exactly knows the pastime and he knows all the intricate details of the dance steps and the abhinayas and the eye movements, how different emotions are expressed by the movement of eyes and everything. So he perfectly understands. The other person, even though he has seen from beginning to end, but he cannot understand anything. He says that, yes, I am seeing, but I am like that person who does not know anything about dance. Nato natyadaro yata. Though the dancer is endowed with rhythms and dance steps suitable to the rasa, the ignorant spectator, ignorant of the scriptures delineating performance, sees only a dancer dancing. Kuch to dance hua, utna pata hai. Kuch to chal raha tha stage mein. That much only he can understand. Though he sees, he does not really see. Similarly, though I see you, I really do not see you. She says, I really do not understand you, Krishna. Why? What did I do that you cannot understand? You tell me now. Krishna asks. Kunti Maharani says, yes, I will tell you. Though you protect the Pandavas, your devotees, since you are the soul within all of us constantly, you are so affectionate to the Pandavas, you protected all of them. You personally counteracted the weapon of Ashwatthama, which was meant for killing the Pandavas and Parikshit Maharaj. But in doing that, you broke your vow. You promised that you would never pick up the weapons, but you picked it up. Though you protect the righteous, you had Bhishma and other righteous persons destroyed. Though you are most affectionate to Draupadi and Subhadra, you let their sons be killed. I do not know the truth about your pastimes. So what? Are you predictable? If I knew you, I would have been able to predict what you would do. Draupadi and Subhadra are very dear to you. But you let their sons die. You always protect the righteous people. You let Bhishma die. You promised not to pick up weapons. You picked it up. So, what can I predict? If I know someone, I should be able to predict his activities. I cannot predict. So therefore, as later in the third canto, Uddhava would say, Karmanyanihasya bhavo abhavasyate Durgashrayo ata aribayat palayanam Kalatmano yat pramadayutashrama Swatmanrate khidyati dir vidamiha. He says that even the most intelligent people are bewildered trying to understand the contradictions in Krishna's pastimes. Like that. So, that's what she is telling. Maya javanika achannam agya adokshajam avyayam nalakshase moodadrisha nato natyadaro yata. Moodadrisha means foolish eyes. Foolish eyes means eyes which have not been trained to see the nuances of dance. So even though the eyes are seeing the dancer dancing, but he cannot understand anything. It's just like a commerce major sitting in a physics class, advanced physics class. Or a physics major sitting in an advanced commerce class. What will they understand? Nothing. For him, it will see numbers and numbers and numbers, nothing else. So, that's what she is telling. Maya javanikat channam agyadokshajam avyayam nalakshase moodadrisha nato natyadaro yata. another understanding of Nato Natyadroyata is the person who is seeing the puppets moving, because he is Mudadrisha. He doesn't know that all these puppets are being moved by the puppeteer. Nato Natyadroyata is not understood by the eyes of the ignorant. Mudadrisha na lakshyase nato natyadara. Natyadara is the puppeteer. They see the nato, they see the puppets, but they can't see the puppeteer. Because if they don't, they are wondering, oh, how come these dolls are moving by themselves? Like that. Okay, how many of you do not know this verse? Have not memorized this verse? So we will chant three times and see if we can recollect. Maya javanika channam agyadokshajam avyayam nalakshase modadrisha nato natyadaro yata. Maya javanika channam agyadokshajam avyayam nalakshase modadrisha nato natyadaro. మాయాజవనికాచ్ఛన్నం అజ్ఞాదోక్షజం అవ్యయం నలక్ష్యసే మూఢదృశా నటో నాట్యధరో యత. ఫస్ట్ లైన్, ఎనీవన్ వాంట్స్ టు ట్రై? మాయాజవనికాచ్ఛన్నం. ఓకే, సెకండ్ లైన్ అజ్ఞాదోక్షజం అవ్యయం. థర్డ్ లైన్ న లక్ష్యసే మూఢదృశ. ఫోర్త్ లైన్ నటో నాట్య ద్రోహిత. ఓకే, ఫస్ట్ టూ లైన్స్ వన్ షుడ్ ట్రై. నెక్స్ట్ టూ లైన్స్ okay, full verse wants to try.
Maya jivani kachanam ajnyad ukshajam avyayam nalakshyase mudadrisha nato natyadaro yata.
Haribo. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. I will read, you tell me what Prabhupada is talking about. Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Avajananti maam muda manushim tanumat ashritam. So what is Prabhupada talking about? Nalakshase mudadrisha. An ignorant, untrained eye cannot see. Meaning, when they see the Supreme Lord performing his pastimes, they think that he is just another ordinary person. Such people are called asuras. They cannot accept the Lord's authority. The Lord performed many superhuman activities in many avatars. Also, the Shastras accept great Acharyas accept. The Shastras accept, the great Acharyas accept, and he himself has mentioned. Asito Devalo Vyaso Swayam Chaiva Bravishime, Krishna says, Arjuna says. But still, the Asuras don't accept. Why? Yeah, because they have a poor fund of knowledge, and they are. And second reason Prabhupada says is because of their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds. And the third reason why they cannot understand is that they depend on imperfect senses to realize the Lord. They accept only Pratyaksha and Anuman. Why they don't accept Shabda?
Shabda is coming directly from Vishnu, Krishna. Because Krishna is seeing directly and they don't believe Krishna.
Why?
They have more faith on their own senses.
Correct. Why they don't have faith in the...
It's humility, means it's like, you have to become submissive to other people.
That is because none of us went and preached to them. That is the reason. So therefore, when Krishna says, or when Prabhupada says, Moodha, the word Moodha is used in the sense of being unfortunate. So to call someone foolish or rascal, so sometimes Prabhupada says, but the word is used in the sense of being, oh, how unfortunate. Because to know Krishna, you should have bhakti. Right? Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatpatah. So if one does not know Krishna, then he does not have bhakti. How does one get bhakti? Only if a devotee has approached him, right? So therefore, can you hold that person responsible for being an atheist? Can you hold any person responsible for being an atheist? No. So throughout scriptures, even in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti maam moodha. So there, Krishna, Shri Vishnu Jagat Thakur and Baldev Vidya Bhushan translate Moodha as unfortunate. Later when he says, Mahatmanastu maam partha devim prakati maashirta. Right, that is 9.13. 9.13 is what? 9.12 is Mogasha Moga Karmano, 9.11 is Avajananti Maam Moodha, 9.13 is what?
Mahatmanastu
Maam Partana. So, there the Mahatma is translated as the fortunate person by Baldev Vidya Bhushan and Vishnachakra Thakur. On the other hand is the Moodha, who is translated as unfortunate. So, unfortunate means you cannot hold him responsible. So, if someone hates Krishna, who is responsible? The Vaishnavas are responsible. That does not mean he has no responsibility. As an atheist, whatever material act that he performs, he is responsible in the form of reactions for that. But for hating Krishna, he is not responsible. The Vaishnavas are responsible. The same way when he gets bhakti, also he does not get the credit. The credit goes to the Vaishnava. And if he does not have bhakti, for that also the blame goes to the Vaishnavas, if they have not reached out to that person. He is responsible within the realm of karma. But bhakti is beyond the realm of karma. For not having entered the realm which is transcendental to karma, he is not responsible for that. So therefore, when the scriptures seemingly use such harsh words, it is only in a sense of compassion, in a sense of despair, that the Shastras use that way. It's not holding them responsible for not accepting Krishna. Yeah.
Then would Duryodhan fit into this category of Buddha?
Yeah.
When he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, still out of his own faith, he used his people to, he denied it in any way, in no form, right? He just accepted Krishna as an ordinary person.
Yeah, because he never ever accepted Krishna as a transcendental person. Not really. See, that obstinacy is also due to not having favorable bhakti impressions. That obstinacy, that obstinacy is not the root cause. That we also have many, many impressions which will inspire us to act in a way for our own sense gratification, right? Neglecting the supremacy of Krishna, neglecting the fact that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, right? But still, there is something in us which says, no, no, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. That is the Shraddha. How did you receive that Shraddha? Through devotees, through favorable bhakti impressions, right? Agyat Sukriti. For someone who has not accumulated such Sukritis, it is not reasonable for that Shraddha to manifest, right? So if that Shraddha is not there, he will not accept. So what can he do? Not that he is not responsible for any act that he performs. He will be held responsible by the law of karma. But he will not be held responsible for not loving Krishna. That the Vaishnavas are responsible. Is it clear?
His acceptance will not be some daily index consideration.
His acceptance depends solely on how the Vaishnavas facilitate his acceptance. So Vaishnavas have to facilitate his acceptance in a way. Otherwise, if you say that for his some material conditioning is the cause of his not accepting Krishna, then someone else, acceptance of Krishna would be the cause, his favorable conditioning would become the cause of someone else accepting Krishna. Then the material conditioning becomes the cause of bhakti, which is not true. Right?
Scripture speaks about categorization, non-envious people, envious people.
Yeah.
Maitri, prema maitri, karuna upeksha.
Correct, correct, correct.
In that sense, very good.
Okay. So, prema maitri, kripa upeksha. So, the unfavorable people, they should not be directly approached. So, that is true. But what is unfavorable is highly subjective in one sense. A person may feel unfavorable emotions towards a people of particular nationality. Say for example, if a person from Russia goes to preach in the United States, let's say during the Cold War. So for that American person who is going to be preached to, he feels very envious towards a Russian. So that just means that a Russian cannot preach to him. But if an American-bodied devotee would have gone and preached to him, he would have accepted. So, that envy just indicates a sense of mutual incompatibility on the level of body. So, one person may not be able to preach to one category of people because of some envy that he possesses due to some material considerations. Whereas another devotee might be able to breach that envy. Because he might have some quality which is likable to that person. So, he is feeling envy towards the bodily consideration. So, which means that particular devotee is not fit to preach to him. That's all it means. Some other devotee may have a conditioning which is very suitable to him, so that other devotee will come and preach to him. So no one is like universally dveshi. No one is like a universal dveshi. His dvesha is towards some material aspect of that person. So some other devotee who does not have that particular material aspect, he will come and preach.
Any of the Lord gets reflected in a different
way. Before we got preached to, we all were envious of the Supreme Lord. So envy of the Supreme Lord everyone has. But here that Dvesha talks not envy of the Supreme Lord, but envy towards that particular person. So then we would say that envy towards the Supreme Lord is, whoever is envious, he can eternally never become devotee. It's not like that. So then who will preach to him? If no one preaches, then how will he get over that envious situation? There is no way. No? How he will get? There is no way he can get Bhakti on Mukhasakri because he is Dveshi. So generally that Dvesha is towards some material aspect of that devotee. Nationality, color, creed, something like that. So some person who has all the favorable conditionings that he looks for. Conditionings, I said, the external upadhis. So he may get, oh, you are from this state. I am willing to speak with you. You go to Tamil Nadu and someone from North India. In Tamil Nadu, anyone above Tamil Nadu is North Indian only for them. So he comes to Maharashtra, it's in North India. Bengal is also in North India. They will say that even Orissa is North India only, according to them. So they come and speak, they will shut down, because in Tamil Nadu people are very language fanatics. You come and preach to them in Hindi, speak one word in Hindi, you will immediately turn them off. They will become Dveshis. Whereas another Tamil person, he comes and speaks with them in pure, nice Tamil, not pure Tamil, but Tamil. You go and he goes and preaches, he will listen. So there is some sense of envy that everyone has towards something. So it just means that you are not the devotee who is supposed to be preaching to him. Some other devotee should do that job. That's all it means. So let's move ahead. Then she says, Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashyema hi striyah. Katam pashyema hi striyah. How can we, woman, hope to see you? Why can't women see? Because she says, bhakti yoga vidanartam, you are the object of bhakti. Paramahamsanam amalatmanam muninam, you are the object of bhakti for the omniscient liberated sages. How can we women see? So Krishna himself says, Striyo vaishyas tata shudras tepi anti param gatim. So there is no bodily restriction for a woman or a vaishya or shudra. Everyone can understand Krishna and move ahead. But here Kunti Maharani says, I am a stri, how can I understand you? So this seems like ignorance of shastric injunctions. She should go back to the basics now and read. She didn't read Bhagavad Gita, or she didn't hear Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was already spoken. So certain, this is the so therefore, activities of pure devotees may seem like mundane activities, mundane ignorant activities. But we cannot, what is born out of prema many times seems very similar to that which is born out of three modes. This is mana shunyata. is a natural feeling that a Bhav Bhakta has. It's a natural feeling of humility, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that I am worser than Jagai and Madai. So now, in what sense? In any sense you take, you cannot imagine how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could be worser than Jagai and Madai. So it is an absolute, either you can say an ignorant statement, or you can say it's a blatant lie. But definitely, it's neither. From a material point of view, this could be the only two reasons. But when this statement comes out of the mouth of a pure devotee, that is a statement born out of his prema, which may seem like an ignorant statement, but it is not. It is a statement that indicates his humility. So sometimes the external activities, similar external activities need not have the same internal trigger. Like the gopis, seemingly external amorous exchanges with Krishna does not have the same internal trigger of lust. In the Damodar Leela also, I think I shared this last time, I don't remember. When Mother Yashoda is churning the butter for Krishna, so till the previous day, there have been so many complaints from the gopis that Krishna is coming to our house to steal, Krishna is coming to our house to steal, he is creating a lot of disturbance and all that. So Mother Yashoda had enough. So on this particular day she decides, I will select the best cows, feed them best grass, and myself I will milk the cows and get the best Padmagandha milk. I will boil them personally, make yogurt, and I will personally churn the yogurt and make butter. And when Krishna eats this butter, he will never ever go to any other house to eat butter. Because if he eats this butter, he won't find any other butter relishable. So, Mother Yashoda decided this way. On any normal day, she would not be personally milking the cow and boiling the milk and all that. That would be done by the maid servants. Today, Mother Yashoda personally engages all the other maid servants in some other service. Because she thinks that today, what do these maid servants know about Krishna? What do these gopis know about pleasing Krishna? Only I know how to please Krishna. Only I can perfectly please Krishna. These gopis do not know anything. Kabhi kabhi jala dete hain doodh ko. Like that she thinks. From an external point of view, it seems like, why is she acting so proud? Yes, true, this is proud, but this pride is said to be Sanchari Bhav. Sanchari Bhav means transient emotions, which are born out of prema. So, sometimes this kind of pride, or when it comes to Vatsalya Bhav, sometimes the parents with a desire to protect the child become very angry on the child and they develop this deep desire to chastise the child. But that is considered as a Sanchari Bhav. Sanchari Bhav means transient emotion, which is born out of their natural affection for the child, prema, Vatsalya Bhav. But it is transient. A genuinely affectionate father or mother, you will never see them constantly angry on their child. If the Sanchari Bhav becomes the Sthai Bhav, then the child will run away. So that's just a Sanchari Bhav. So, such transient emotions are also born out of prema, which may seem like material anger or material pride, born out of modes, but the same external action need not have the same internal trigger, especially when we are talking about pure devotees. So here Mother Kunti has made a statement which is not a shastrically correct statement. She is telling that, oh, you are the object of bhakti of the liberated sages. That is right. So therefore, we women cannot understand. That is not shastrically right, but that statement is not born out of the material mode of ignorance. That statement is born out of her genuine love, which is manifesting in the form of one of the anubhavas. 9 anubhavas: shantir, avyartha kalatvam, manashamyata, ashabandha, samutkanta, namagane sadaruchi, and so on. Asaktistad, pritistad vasatistale, asaktistad gunakyane, and so on. So 9 characteristics are there. So manashunyata is one of them. Humility. Out of humility, Kunti Maharani is praying like this. So, here, Shri Lakshmana Jagadagur says that I am hopeless as a woman. Can even the omniscient sages, Paramahamsas, who worship you with attraction for your sweet pastimes, being ignorant of the truth about your pastimes, know the intricacies of your pastimes? Meaning, she says that Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidana Artam. You are the object of bhakti. She doesn't say that all these liberated sages understand you. She says that they try to understand you, but they cannot completely understand. Amalatmanam refers to those who are free from the contamination of material gunas, which means liberated souls in this life. How can we see you who are the object of bhakti yoga practice for the Paramahamsas? Does it mean women cannot be Paramahamsas? Does it mean women cannot be liberated souls? No. But out of her natural humility, she is speaking like that. That the Paramahamsas worship the Lord has been explained in the verse. Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nargrantha Purukrame Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhakti Mittam Bhutaguno Hari. So even Uddhava felt like this. In the third canto, I think second chapter, he says, O Master, O Lord, you who are always full of knowledge, unaffected by time and complete, would call me for consultation and ask me, just as ignorant people would do, attentive to my advice. When you, though full of knowledge, act in this way, it bewilders my mind. So he was also feeling very, why would you call me for advice like that?
So here,
Prabhupada writes here in the purport, one cannot understand the Lord by mental speculation. Woman cannot speculate, but they have a very simple heart and can accept the Lord's superiority without reservation. Therefore, women are seen in large numbers in religious functions. Simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Prabhupada writes, simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. So, simple acceptance is very important. Simplicity is stressed here by Prabhupada. So, those of you who have not memorized it, you can just memorize it for 1 minute. I'll just use the washroom.
Tathā paramahamsānām, tathā paramahamsānām, muninām amalātmanām, muninām amalātmanām, bhakti-yoga-vidānārtham, तं पश्येमहि स्त्रियः
Then she offers this famous prayer. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namo Namaha, I offer my repeated obeisances to Krishnaya Vasudevaya and to Krishna, the son of Vasudev. So she was thinking, she was meditating on who all are those famous, who all are those people who have benefited by Krishna's presence. So she first thinks of her own brother Vasudev. She thinks, so many people have vatsalyaras towards Krishna. Kunti Maharani herself being one of them. She also has vatsalyaras towards Krishna. But Krishna didn't appear as Kunti Maharani's son. Right? Krishna didn't appear as the son of all the Vrajavasis. He appeared as the son of only Nanda Maharani and Yashoda Maharani. So, he says that Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Vasudev is most fortunate. Because among so many people who have Vatsalya Bhav towards Krishna, he appeared as his son. And then, she thinks that, but Mother Devaki is more fortunate than even Nanda Maharaj. Than Vasudev. Devaki Nandanaya cha, because Krishna gave joy to Devaki by being born from her womb. By staying in her womb for so long. Because of her superior prema, he gave more joy to Devaki than Vasudev. So, Devaki is more fortunate. That's what she is telling. Devaki Nandanaya cha. And then she says, Devaki might be fortunate, but nothing can compare the glory of Nanda Maharaj. Even though Krishna may not have been born as the son of Nanda Maharaj, which she doesn't know that he did. Actually took birth as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj also. But Nanda Maharaj got to see all the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So he is more fortunate. So at least 11 years. Then she was thinking, who is more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj? Of course, Mother Yashoda, she will separately glorify in one verse. So here she says, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So Govindaya means, it refers to, when did Krishna get the name Govinda? Of course, it's an eternal name of Krishna. But we understand that from the pastime point of view, after Govardhan Lila, when Mother Surabhi comes to perform Abhishek, you know, then she says, you know, then she names him as Govinda. So, that after this indicates the onset of Krishna's Kaishoravastha, his youth. So, at the stage of youth, who are the recipients of Krishna's youthful pastimes? The gopis. Generally, the Kaumara, you know, Bhaktivinoda Samsundu, it's described that the Kaumara Avastha is said to be the impetus for Vatsalyaras. Pauganda Avastha for Sakyaras and Kaishora Avastha for Madhuryaras. So, Kaumara means first 5 years. 6 to 10 is Pauganda and 11 onwards, 11 to 16, 11 to 15 or 16 is Kaishoravastha. So, when he just entered the Kaishoravastha, he was named as Govinda. So, Govinda here indirectly refers to the gopis. So, this indicates gopis are most fortunate. So, the most elevated devotees, their identity has to be protected. So, therefore she is not glorifying as Gopijana Vallabhaya Namaha or something like that. Gopinathaya Namo Namaha or something like that. She says Govindaya. So, because Govindaya indirectly refers to the gopis. Like that. So this is a very beautiful verse. Indirectly glorifying all the people who were connected to Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha, Nandagopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. I am pretty sure all of you know this verse. Is there anyone who has not memorized it before? No. So, Shri Vishnu Jagadagur says, among all the avataras, you are the best. Though all of those who have prema are fortunate, my brother Vasudeva was the most fortunate since you selected him as your father. That is the significance of the word Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. And your mother endowed with even more prema is most fortunate. Devaki Nandanaya. You made her more successful than all others by situating yourself in her womb alone. Thus Kunti addresses Krishna as Devaki Nandana, he who gives joy to Devaki. But Nanda Maharaj endowed with more prema is most fortunate. Why? Because you let him alone experience the sweetness of your infant pastimes, Kaumara pastimes. So what is Vatsalya Ras without having an experience of the Kaumara pastimes? Even though one may say that 11 years only Krishna stayed in Vrindavan. After that he went back. Na? So why must Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda be considered more fortunate than Vasudeva and Devaki? Because of this reason. At the Kaumara stage, when it is most Vatsalya Poshak, at that stage, fully Krishna spent in Vrindavan, performing his pastimes. After that, if the children grow their first 7-8 years of their life elsewhere, away from parents, then after that, even though if they may come and stay with the parents, they can't relate with the parents. At their most dependent age, when someone else fulfills that dependence. So, it becomes difficult for them to relate to the parents. Even I know one of our brahmacharis also. Due to, you know, his parents gave him in adoption to uncle, because uncle was childless for a long time. So in all good intentions, they gave him an adoption to uncle. And interestingly, till he was in his 10th standard, he didn't know that they were his real parents. He would call them uncle and aunt, his actual parents. And his uncle and aunt, he would address them as mother, father. So, and then in his 10th standard, even when he came to know who his real parents were, he could not accept. He could not relate with them in that way at all. It was a big disaster for him, actually. He was not told personally. He just happened to overhear someone speaking that way. And it was like a big bombshell that dropped. And it really shook him completely. It was like a disaster for him. He could not accept. It was not possible. Like that. So, Yashoda with abundant prema is most fortunate. This will be explained later in 31st verse. The pastimes of your Kaishora age have even more sweetness than the Kaumara pastimes. Thus, Kunti addresses Krishna as Govinda. Krishna got the name Govinda at the beginning of his Kaishora age after he was bathed by the Surabhi cow. You take possession, Vinda, of all the senses of all people. The enjoyers of this form of Krishna are not mentioned because of their extraordinary nature. The esoteric nature of his love and the lack of qualification of others to taste it. So Vishnu Chakrachakra also doesn't say who they are. He says that the enjoyers of this form of Krishna are not mentioned. He says enjoyers of this form. Who? No one knows. Are not mentioned because of their extraordinary nature. The esoteric nature of this love and the lack of qualification of others to taste it. That's all. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord is Adokshaja, but still He descends out of His causeless mercy for two reasons, Paritranaya Sadhunam and Vinashaya Chadushkritam. But of all the incarnations, Krishna is especially merciful. Why? Because though He appeared as the son of a king, that is Vasudev, He showed His childhood pastimes as an ordinary cowherd boy in Vrajabhumi. Vasudev is most fortunate of all the devotees as Krishna chose him as the father. But more fortunate is Devaki. More fortunate are Nanda and Yashoda as they got to experience His childhood pastimes. And most fortunate are the gopis because of whose association Krishna gets the name Govinda. Like that. So, one more verse we will do and then we will end. Namah Pankaja Nabaya, Namah Pankaja Maline, Namah Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangre. So he says, Namaste, I offer my respects to Pankaja Nabaya, to the Lord with lotus navel, Pankaja Maline, who wears a lotus garland, Pankaja Netraya, who has lotus eyes, and Pankajangre, he has lotus feet. Most of you know this verse also, right? So, she says that not only are all these four people fortunate, but I am also fortunate. Why? Because you are standing right in front of me. Nama Pankajanabhaya, and you have a lotus-like beautiful navel. Nama Pankajamaline, and you are wearing a lotus garland. Nama Pankajanetraya, so she is going from navel to the chest where the garland is resting, then to the eyes, which are also compared to lotus, and then she comes to feet. So Prabhupada says that ideally one should take darshan from the feet, but if she had described Krishna from the feet, then Krishna would have been embarrassed because of the social custom. So therefore she slightly starts from the navel to chest to eyes, then back to feet like that. My eyes, receiving the sight of your navel, garland, eyes and feet, become pleasantly cool. That's indicated by the word Pankaja, lotus. Lotus indicates cool, coolness. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, why is Kunti Maharani declaring herself to be unfit? She has spoken about the fortune of Vasudev, Devaki, Nanda Maharaj and the gopis, but she has not included herself. Because Stri Shudras and Dvijabandhus, because of their inferior intelligence, cannot understand the Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela. Is there a truth to this? We have to try to understand. That is an element of truth actually. When Krishna says, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras Tepiyanti Paramgatim. Right? Says, oh, whether he is a Stri Shudra, Vaishya or Shudra, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras Tepiyanti Paramgatim. They also can attain, no problem. But then in the next verse, what does he say? What is the next verse? That is 8th chapter. 7th chapter. This is 9th chapter. Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayas tata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajaswamam. He says, right? So he says, kim punar. Kim punar means?
Again.
What then to speak of? Bhaktya Rajarshayas Tata. What then to speak of the Rajarshis? Brahmanas. Kimpuna Brahmana Punya. What then to speak of the pious Brahmanas? The devotees. Why is he using the word Kimpunar there? What then to speak of? Why is it used?
They can understand easily.
Yeah. When they receive the seed of bhakti, it is easier for them to progress further fast because of their favorable conditionings. Even though people with papa yoni, they can also take up to bhakti. No problem. No one is barred from receiving the seed of devotion. But he says, but those who have a favorable birth, they, having accepted the seed, they can progress faster. That's what is indicated by the word Kimpunar. Brahmana Punya Bhaktya Rajarshayastata Anityam Masukam Lokam Imam Prapya Vajaswama. Like that.
So here,
Why is Kunti Maharani declaring herself to be unfit? Because Stri Shudras and Dvijabandhus, because of their inferior intelligence, cannot understand the Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela easily. Has to be added. Because we see many, Kunti Maharani herself is an example of a Stri who understood the Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela of the Lord. So first she says, Nama Pankajanabhaya. Or Padmanabhaya. So Padmanabha refers to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. He accepts the Archa Vigraha in different elements, namely mind, wood, earth, metal, etc. You go to Ananta Padmanabha temple in Trivandrum. There's a beautiful golden Padmanabha deity. And of course the main deity is made of stone, the bigger deity. All such forms are pankaja, all such forms wear lotus garlands, pankajamalis, in order to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees. The meditators worship on the manas form of the Lord, but the Stri, Shudra and the other not so elevated yonis, they have to visit the temple to worship the different Archamurtis. Such people are not idol worshippers and one should not pose himself as transcendental to temple worship while still in the category of Stri, Shudra, Dvijabandhus. In the Kali, practically everyone is falls in the category of Shudras only. So, like that. And finally, Prabhupada says that the darshan of the Lord has to be taken from the lotus feet only, but Kunti Maharani, being Krishna's aunt, did not want to embarrass Krishna. Therefore, she started from the navel, then the garland, then the eyes, then she came back to the lotus feet. Like that. So, like that she expresses that I am also fortunate because I am getting to take darshan of your wonderful form. Like that. So we'll end here. We'll continue this chapter tomorrow. Tomorrow definitely we'll complete it and move on to Bhishma Dev's prayers. So tomorrow there is a slight change of timings. Not sure if you have been communicated. Tomorrow morning 7:30 to 10:30 we have our Bhaktir Sam Sindhu class every Sunday we have. So could we start at 11 o'clock instead of your general time is 10 to 1 instead of 10 to 1 could we have tomorrow 11 to 2 so 11 to 2 we'll have tomorrow and from